Good afternoon. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on surprisingly a gorgeous Sunday afternoon. A couple of announcements. The bathrooms, for those of you first time here, are out of the door and out to the left around back. Immediately following this service, there will be a reception in our fellowship hall next door. Always good. Special thanks to Paul and Sean and Mickey today. Two changes in your program. The Gloria Patri will be right after the word of assurance, and the doxology will be after the offering. And this church, in its long and storied history, has seen some wonderful and very exciting things happen, and today is no exception. And we are very happy and proud, and I just wanted to say welcome and thank you.
A call to worship. Let us worship God. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Most High is awesome, a great sovereign over all the earth. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
I Amen. Please remain standing for this prayer of confession. We are called as God's people to pray both individually and corporately as the body of Christ, remembering that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So let us come to the Lord with reverence, with humility, and with boldness. Let us pray. Almighty God, by water and your Holy Spirit, you baptized us to be your own
and called the church into being.
We confess that we hold back the love of your Spirit among us. We listen for your word of grace. Speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, and make strong our common witness to the one Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Knowing that we have been forgiven, you are invited to share the joy of that knowledge with those around you by sharing the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And now a scripture reading from Acts 3, verses 1 through 11. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us," as he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he told him, but took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what just happened to him.
Thank you all so much for having me here this afternoon. It's my honor to work with Rebecca in the certificate program at the seminary, and it's my honor to be with you in worship here today. Please pray with me. Lord God, regardless of my words, grant us a word to sustain us this afternoon and going forward as we do life together. Amen. Early on in my first call, it was a Sunday, and I needed to pick up both several bags of mulch and a potted baby tree before worship. A little background, my first call was a new worshiping community, and we worshiped on Sunday afternoons at 5. So as a church planner, you end up doing all kinds of absurd things to make church happen. And weirdly, this Sunday, part of my tasks as assigned were to pick up this new free baby tree and its nourishment for the churchyard. But I was already dressed for worship, and I was running late, and there were no parking spots in my dense row home neighborhood, and it was hot that day. So it came to pass that on the backdrop of this... on the backdrop of this hardworking, historically Irish Catholic, and deeply casual factory neighborhood, I was wearing a clerical collar, a bright yellow flowered skirt, and heels, and I was relay racing bags of mulch and one scrawny tree back and forth to my car, sweating and muttering to myself about how late I was. And somewhere in the process, I noticed there was a woman across the street standing and just staring at me. Huh, I thought, I guess I'm not exactly what she expected for from the neighborhood pastor. To be honest, that happened a lot in my first call. Maybe that's part of why I love when Peter tells the man at the gate to look at them. So often, people play a certain role in our lives, and we're tempted to simply go through the motions of interacting, following the rules of our role, rather than really seeing the person in front of us. When I was serving my first church, I regularly got the opportunity to pastor people in surprising ways. And I think part of that is because the great generosity my community showed me as a young pastor, a young lady, kind of a surprising person, doing really absurd things like climbing on the roof looking for leaks and planting trees in the front yard. They welcomed me as I was, and ever to my surprise, they were willing to trust that in the midst of my inexperience and what some might call my unconventional approach, that God came near even to us, even though I didn't look much like the traditional pastor they might have imagined. I was particularly grateful for that because I've noticed that if we aren't careful, the traditional pastor role can become like giving money to someone who is begging. It's a nice thing to do, it's helpful even, but if we do it without paying attention, if we just act out the role so we don't have to offer anything else or practice any other vulnerability, then we miss the real gift and the real role that God has for us. So this is a word both to pastor and congregation. Don't spend your time hoping that the other might just do the role you envision for them better, so you don't have to pay as much attention. Pastor Rebecca is not here to provide the service of church each week so that no one else has to think about it. More to the point, she isn't here to bring in young families or up the pledge giving. And you, the congregation, are not here solely to come and sit each week quietly, receive the pageant of worship, put your dollars in the plate to pay her, and question the hymn choices in the parking lot. And this is actually great news. Because Pastor Rebecca isn't actually able to single-handedly coerce young families into the church, especially if you don't buy her a big van for the purpose. She isn't able to change the economy and up the pledge giving on her own. And you, the congregation, can't just give more money you don't have. And I doubt you want to sit quietly hoping the church will meet your needs, but never being in a place where someone looks at you long enough to know your needs well or have a sense of what your needs even are. Peter says, I have no silver or gold, and we are in much the same position. We don't have the resources or the skills that these roles might expect of us. But the gift is that that frees us up to consider what we do have to offer, and even what we really need and what we ought to offer. See, the heart of doing church together is not a dance of roles, just I do the pastor stuff, you do the congregation stuff. It isn't that transactional, and it ought not be that trivial. What your pastor owes you, and you owe your pastor, are two things: mutual regard and the gospel proclaimed. Oh, the agreed upon salary and benefits and regular office hours do matter. You can't just ignore them. But that's not what it is to be pastored well, and that's not what it is to lead God's church well. So, mutual regard. Peter says to the man, look at us. Perhaps the man at the gate was looking down, but certainly he was thinking that all he might get, all he could really ask for, and really all that any of the people before him could offer, was money. Connection, relationship, hope, meaning they weren't a part of his role, and as a result, they weren't a part of his imagination for what might be possible. But Peter, in asking for his attention, not only takes the dehumanizing, perhaps even shameful circumstance of begging and moves it toward connection, but he also invites the man at the gate to see Peter and John's vulnerability as well. Look at us. We aren't people of wealth. We aren't people of power. We're travelers with stories. We are people in need of connection. Peter and John regard the man, and they ask the man to regard them. And there is leveling there. There is a space for togetherness. And once they've met eyes, they know that neither can really play the polite role that has been set out for them. Friends, I invite you to look at each other. Rebecca, turn around. Look at the people that you have been called to serve. Congregation, see your pastor. Rebecca, grizzled veterans of pastoral ministry might tempt you to limit these folks to the role of passive congregant, those who consume worship quietly or simply want to check a Sunday morning box. But I hope that you will never forget the deep courage and hope it takes to come to church on Sunday, trusting that the good news preached there will not only be enough to sustain them, but enough to sweep them up and envelop them in something wholly unexpected. And I hope that you will remember that you come with that same shy and vulnerable hope, and that's why you got into this work. Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, this is the pastor you've called to lead you. The church's past and the church delusion that lives in all our brains may tempt you to think that she is somehow not playing this role right, that things are changing too quickly and slipping through the cracks. I hope you will remember that she too is human, and she has been called to this. I hope that you will, like Peter recommends, regard her, the work that she does, the love that she bears you, the silver and gold that she will not always have. And listen closely for the healing word of good news that comes not from her, but from Jesus Christ. Certainly, at times, you will both be tempted to wish that the other had just the particular good or service you were asking for, was the particular type of pastor or congregation you envisioned, so that it would all be neat and clean in terms of needs met and expectations met and roles played. But that isn't how it's going to work. You will disappoint each other and be imperfect. You will pick up each other's roles every now and again and have to put them down again. You will screw up, need to apologize, need to forgive. All in all, you will be more like two weary travelers and a vulnerable beggar by the gate than a fancy, famous pastor and a glamorous circle of self-satisfied church people. And that is how it should be. But here comes the real challenge. Both after and as you regard each other, as a part of really seeing and knowing each other, you must proclaim the gospel to each other with your very lives. Pastor Rebecca, you don't owe the church well-done tasks, although those are always nice. You owe them nothing smaller than the great good news of God. And anything that takes time from that, anything that lessens the reality of that in this community's midst, is not worthy of your time. As a minister of Word and Sacrament, you are charged with the life-giving good news of God, and my hope for you is that you will let no one convince you to stoop to anything less. Wrestling with the copy machine, arguing with the gas company, liaising with the presbytery, all these ought to be in direct service to the lived good news in our midst. Like Peter and John, you have encountered the transforming grace of Jesus Christ, and you are invited to live it here in service to the thriving of this congregation. You may not have gold, but you have what gold cannot buy. Saints of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, by being members of this church and coming to worship this day, you have done the same brave and powerful thing that united Peter and John with the man seated at the gate. You have dared to admit that there is something that you want and something that you hope for. You have proclaimed your faith in the shape of desire and dared to ask. Perhaps you asked for a pastor to keep things running, to recruit Sunday school teachers and do weddings and funerals. But the call now that God has heard your prayer and responded, as God is wont to do, with a person rather than a quick and easy answer, now the call is to stand up and live a new life together. The call is to trust your pastor's gifts, even when it isn't the gold of a full slate of Sunday school teachers for the fall. Look her in the eye. Take the right hand she offers you or extend the hand that she needs and walk with her. And here is the pastor's secret. There is no better sermon, no clearer picture of the gospel proclaimed than the willingness of people in the midst of this broken world to stand up and walk together in this work of church, asking for grace, speaking of hope, and claiming new life. God sent you as great gifts to one another. So may you continue to look toward each other with enough hope and curiosity to see that good news anew in your midst, even as so much will certainly change throughout your whole time together in ministry. Amen.
Be seated. My dear friends, we are called out by God to be the Church of Jesus Christ, a sign in the world today of the new life that God intends for all. In our life together, we are to deeply to display the new reality that sin is forgiven, reconciliation accomplished, and the dividing walls of hostility torn down. As the living body of Christ, the Church is called to proclaim the good news of salvation, to present the claims of the gospel on people's lives, and to demonstrate Christ's love in service to the world. We are called to undertake this mission even at the risk of life, trusting God in all things. In faith, we embrace a new openness to what God is doing in our time, a renewed obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, and a new joy in our common worship and work. Today, we reclaim our historic calling and remember the great ends of the Church, the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. The ministry of the Church is shared by pastor and people, so that all together may fulfill the mission to which we are called in Jesus Christ. The particular responsibility of the ministry of word and sacrament is to build up the Church and serve the people of God, so that the word may be rightly proclaimed and the sacraments rightly celebrated. The call to this ministry has been extended by the congregation, accepted by the candidate, and approved by the presbytery. Therefore, the Pittsburgh Presbytery, by means of this commission, will now install the Reverend Rebecca DePoe as the pastor of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. In her baptism, Rebecca was clothed with Christ. She was ordained to the ministry of word and sacrament in Pittsburgh Presbytery and is now called by God through the voice of the Church to serve as pastor of this congregation. And so it is with joy that we remember our common calling to serve Christ as we celebrate God's call to our sister Rebecca to serve here as pastor. Rebecca, I invite you at this time to come forward for the constitutional questions. Rebecca, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the Church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church universal and God's word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our Church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our Church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the Church? Do you? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Will you be a faithful minister of the word and sacrament, proclaiming the good news in word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the Church and in your ministry? Will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? At this time, I invite Elder Arlie Cornelius to come forward and ask the congregational questions.
Good afternoon. As a congregation, we are also charged to be partners in this relationship, as we've just heard. So I have these questions for you, the congregation. Do we, the members of the Church, accept Reverend Rebecca DePoe as our pastor, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to guide us in the way of Jesus Christ, do we?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage her, to respect her decisions, to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we?
We do.
Do we promise to pay her fairly and to provide for her welfare as she works among us, to stand by her in trouble and to share her joy? Will we listen to the word she preaches, welcome her pastoral care, and honor her authority as she seeks to honor and obey Jesus Christ our Lord? Will we?
We will.
At this time, I would like to invite the commission to come forward as we pray for Rebecca.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. All praise be yours, Lord God of our salvation. By your word, you called creation into being and made us in your image to love and serve you. By your saving love, you sent Jesus Christ to live among us to redeem your people and establish your peace. By your Holy Spirit, you showered gifts on your children, opening hearts and worlds to your grace, empowering us to live holy and joyful lives. We praise you, God, for the church throughout the world, born of your love, saved by your grace, and sustained by your Holy Spirit. Make us the community you have called us to be, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your very people, gifted to proclaim your marvelous love. Gracious God, we praise you that you have chosen servants in every age to speak your word and to lead your people. We give you thanks today for Rebecca and for the ministry to which you have called her. Give Rebecca a full measure of the gifts of your Holy Spirit, both in the walk of faith and for the work of ministry. Anoint Rebecca with power to proclaim the gospel in word and sacrament, in witness and in service, in truth and in love, for the building up of the people of God and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Generous God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this congregation and on all its people that baptize into your service and unite in Christ's love, they may serve you with joy and faithfulness until all things are made new. Let the word they proclaim be your word of truth. Let the compassion that they show to the world be your love in Christ. Let their common life as pastor and people together be holy, peaceable, and glad in your spirit. Gracious God, accept all that we are and have in the service of Jesus, and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit, now and forever. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Rebecca,
yes.
As a minister of word and sacrament in the Church of Jesus Christ, it is my delight to now say that you have been installed as pastor of this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Hugs, all of that is all appropriate right now.
Hi. Oh, no? Who said oh, no? So my charge is to Rebecca. You guys can listen in, but this is really just for Rebecca. As you start in this new phase, really you started a couple months ago, so we all know what's going on here. I wanted to lift up a few biblical examples that I think you can take little parts from to help you in your ministry. First is from the book of Judges. There is, I know they're all weird.
There's a judge named Deborah, and she is a prophetess, and she's in charge. And the book of Judges is the kind of this exhausting book where Israel is doing fine, and then they forget about God, and then bad stuff happens, and then they whine and complain about it, and then God sends someone to save them, and then that happens again in a cycle. It's kind of like Lost, how like the same thing happens over and over again. So bad things are happening again. They need some help. They go. Deborah is the judge. She's in charge. She calls Barak, who's this mighty guy and a warrior, and he says, "I need you to head the army against the Canaanites." And Barak says, "I think you could do it better, so I would like you to come with me." And Deborah says, "I will come with you, but everybody's going to know that a woman did this." And Barak says, "I'm fine with that." And Deborah goes out and leads this battle against the Canaanites. And in the midst of this battle, Sisera, who's the leader of the Canaanites, breaks away, and he's kind of lost, and all of his troops are dying away from him, and he runs into this Israeli, the Hebrew encampment, and he comes upon a girl named Jael. And he says, "Can I hide in your tent?" And Jael says, "Yeah, you can hide in here." And so he goes in there. He's the bad guy. He lays down. He's like, "I'm so sleepy." This is a weird story. And she's like, "Yeah, you can fall asleep." And he lays down and goes to sleep. And Jael pulls out a tent peg and sticks it through his head. You should read the Bible. It's exciting. And so then the soldiers are coming through, and they're looking, and they're saying, "Where's Sisera? Where's Sisera?" And Jael says, "Oh, he's in here." And they're like, "Keep him there." And she's like, "I don't think he's going anywhere." And so I want you to be like Deborah, knowing that there are people who will say, "I don't know if you can do this." And they won't point out the fact that they doubt you because of your gender. But they'll kind of treat you in a certain way. And it's good to know every once in a while, and maybe even to remind people, that you have some tent pegs with you. The second one I want you to be like is, there is a there's a story a little later in the Bible where King Saul, who has by this point gone full on crazy, he is not a great king. He got chosen because he lost his donkey, and then he just became the king. And on his inauguration day, he did not want to be king so much that he hid in a pile of luggage, because that's the kind of person that Saul was. So don't be Saul. But Saul was trying to find David because he hated David, because everybody loved David. And he got to the point that he thought, "I can't find David. I need Samuel to help me." Samuel was a prophet, kind of the last judge, kind of the first prophet. And he had helped Saul up to this point. And so Saul goes to ask Samuel for help. The problem was, Samuel died several years earlier. And so in order to talk to Samuel, he goes to Endor, where the Ewoks live, and goes to a witch and says to that witch, "Can you talk to this ghost for me?" And the witch says, "I guess so." And so she calls up Samuel. And Samuel comes up as a ghost and says, "What are you doing?" And Saul says, "I need your help." And Samuel says, "I'm resting. I don't have time to deal with you right now. I'm dead." And he said, "But I really need your help." He said, "I'm not going to give you my help anymore. David's going to win. See you later." And Saul felt so bad that then the witch made him dinner. And it was really, it's an interesting story. Again, read your Bible. So I want you to be like the ghost of Samuel. Because people are going to come to you at times and say, "I really need you. And I really need, and I know that it's your day off, but I really need to call you." And I need you to say, "No, I'm resting." Hopefully you won't be dead at that point. So another one that I would like you to be like is a guy named Paul. I don't know if you guys know him. He used to be called Saul. It's a different one. And Paul, a lot of people don't like Paul for various reasons. One of the reasons is that Paul has a lot of fans, Number one among them is a guy named Paul, who loves to talk about how great Paul is. And he will fill chapters with how great Paul is. And there's particularly one in where he lists about how great he is, and he's the best person. He's super smart. He studied all the best people. He comes from the right place, and he's a genius. And yet, he says, but all of that is garbage because of Jesus. All this stuff comes from Jesus. And actually, Saul has the guts to swear in church, which I don't. And he doesn't just call it garbage. Like, he says, it's like, this is pointless. This is all BS. That's close. This is close. I'm going to come. Paul does not doubt his abilities. Paul very firmly knows he is a smart person who knows a lot of stuff, who has worked really hard, and is capable of doing a lot of things. But none of that matters compared to Jesus. Paul does not need other people to give him confidence about how great Paul is, but Paul also recognizes that none of his abilities matter apart from Christ. So have the confidence of Paul, and a little bit more humility than Paul did, but recognizing that you are qualified. You have studied and will continue to study, and you are smart, but none of that matters compared to Christ. And this one's a little more obscure. I know, we've all heard charges with the first three, but this one's a little less relevant. There's a guy in the New Testament who, his name is Jesus, and he was born to an he was unwed baby. His dad had a job in one place and then lived in another place for a long time, and then went to Egypt. He was kind of moving all around. Jesus has to deal with a lot of people who are hard to deal with. Some of them are hard to deal with because they keep trying to tell Jesus who he is. Some of them are hard to deal with because they're so excited about who Jesus is that they keep jumping out of the boat and cutting people's ears off. But Jesus has patience with all of them. And even in the midst of Peter getting out of the boat, when Jesus comes and saves him, he doesn't say, "What's wrong with you? What made you think you could walk on water?" Or, "How dare you try to do this?" He says, what made you think you couldn't do that?" So have the strength of Deborah, the fearlessness of Jael, and the tent pegs of Jael, the ability to know when to say, "I'm resting," like Samuel, the confidence of Paul, with that humility in there too, and the love of Christ that doesn't just empower people, but assumes people will succeed and is surprised when they don't believe it themselves. Have a love for your people that transcends everything. Because sometimes they're going to do silly things. Sometimes they're going to think that they know what you're doing, and they're going to run out and cut people's ears off. Or they're going to, when you say, "Hey guys, I need help," they're all going to run away. But know that you are called not to be perfect, but to be a follower of Christ and to help others know. And to say this way, that you don't have to be Christ who walks on water. But when Christ calls us out of the boat, one of the roles of being a pastor is being willing to be one of the first ones to step out. And when people question that, you can say, "I think we can do this because he thinks we can." And try not to swear in church.
Good afternoon, saints. So shortly after I began my tenure as the staff of Pittsburgh Presbytery, the first session meeting, the first clerk who had to put up with me was Cliff. I drove down, I don't live far from here, and I met with your session. And we talked through the pastoral transition, what it would look like, the process, all those good kinds of things. And along the way, as I've worked with first the interim search and then your PNC, I got in my mind a very clear vision of the type of leader that God would call to you. And I got a very clear idea of the type of leader that you all were looking for in an ex-pastor. That was shattered the day Paul McComb emailed me and said, Rebecca DePoe is our top choice. I got the email. I walked the 15 feet to Sheldon's office. And I said, Sheldon, you're not going to believe this. And I said, guess who Glenshaw Valley's top choice is? And he gave me this look of, I said, Rebecca DePoe. And he laughed back in his chair. Now, to be clear, the reason that he and I were not surprised, here's the not surprising part. The not surprising part is that God would call someone like Rebecca to you. That's not surprising in the least. She's brilliant. She's a wonderful pastor. She loves people. Her maturity, her wisdom, her passion for this work well exceeds most of her peers. So the fact that God would call her to you is not surprising at all. The surprising part is that your PNC and you all as a congregation said yes. Because so often we see congregations who, when presented with something that they might not have expected, say no. No, no, we need this in a pastor. And the whole time, I expected your next pastor to be very different than the person you have called. You have surprised me. And that is to your credit. That is to your credit. So you've surprised me once. And here is my charge to you. Surprise us again. Surprise us again. Because as you well know, the journey toward Rebecca coming here hit what should have been a catastrophic bump in the road. When what was supposed to be a full-time pastoral call suddenly could no longer be that. And most of the time, that process would have died. We would have gone back to the beginning. But you see, because you all had the courage to listen carefully to who God was calling you to, none of this came as a surprise to God. God knew this from the start. And because you trusted and listened, God had worked out the timing that the top choice could still come and be your pastor. I would ask you, if any of you remember the first sermon I preached when I was here in August of 2016, you all might say, oh yes we do, and you would be lying, and Jesus knows. So don't say you do. But in that sermon, I looked it up, I charge you, be open to new possibilities that God might bring before you, even if they are surprising and not at all what you expect. And again, I wish I could take credit for that, but that's not how this work works. For we believe that God is the one that pieces and guides our call process together. So friends, you have surprised me once, and my charge to you is continue to surprise people. Continue to do the unexpected. Continue to do the things that people do not expect a church like Glenshaw Valley to do. Because let me remind you of this, as 1 Peter tells us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You matter to God. This church matters to God. God has called the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church to this place, in this time, for this season, with this pastor. My friends, with God's grace as your lead and the Spirit guiding and directing us, I charge you, surprise us again.
As it has been evident today, as we worship a generous God.
a God who has given God's self fully to us in Jesus Christ and who continues to be present with us from age to age through the Holy Spirit. And we are invited to respond by giving of ourselves to God's mission in the world, by giving ourselves to the need of one another. And one of the ways that we do this is through our giving. Today, as we worship God and celebrate the installation of Rebecca, you are invited to give your offerings to the Oldman Memorial Fund, which is a scholarship fund that provides financial aid for inquirers and candidates under the care of the Pittsburgh Presbytery as they prepare for this type of work, church-related work in the PCUSA. And so, friends, I invite you now to give generously. Offerings for your work through the church. May our gifts make possible the work of proclaiming and making real good news for the poor, freedom for the oppressed, healing for the hurt, and flourishing for all people. We pray that through our giving, you will form us to be generous people in the way of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. give some instructions to how we typically serve communion here. I am going to begin by saying a few words and some prayers. Then, after I bless the elements, I will invite our elders to come forward. They will serve you in your pews. We typically wait to enjoy the elements together, so once everyone has been served, I will come up here and we can enjoy the elements together. All right, friends, let us begin. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, our Creator. You formed us in your image, loved us with everlasting love, and graced us with gifts for serving. In covenant with your people Israel, you raised up leaders, judges, monarchs, and prophets to show us your path of truth and nurture us in righteousness. When we were faithless and would not follow, you forgave and returned us to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, your beloved, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. By your Holy Spirit, you anointed all who would follow him to live a new life in your love. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of heaven, and with the faithful of every time and place, who forever say the glory of your name.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
We take this bread and this wine from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus. Accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ, and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, our Lord took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood. But whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
us at this table to celebrate with all the saints the generous love given to Jesus, your Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who have fed us with word and sacrament, and nourished us with the bread of heaven, the food that endures to eternal life. Make us always strong in our Lord's service, so that we will follow him faithfully wherever he leads. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our prayer, and we'll also have this time to offer him the glory of God's will for everyone.
Depression. Depression. going to say a word of blessing and benediction. So first I'm going to do the benediction, and then after that I'm going to pray for our meal, because I anticipate it might take me a minute to get over to Fellowship Hall, and I don't want you all to wait before you start eating. So first, the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now I'll say a word of blessing on the food. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gathered us from north and south and east and west to come and share a meal together. Lord, we pray that this meal would nourish our bodies and that our conversation would nourish our souls. Lord, I especially pray that you would bless the hands that prepared it, the hands that set up for it, and the hands that will be helping to tear down from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.